Welcome to the Football Goons Podcast, brought to you in part by...
This is Frank at frankwalkerlaw.com. If you find yourself facing criminal charges and have questions, let me help you get the answers you need. You know the number to call, 412-532-6805, or visit me online at frankwalkerlaw.com.
Yourself for your intro to the football goons. D.O. Miles south of Rocco, man, they'll make you swoon. They talk that genuine, you know this podcast won't be good, so stick around and get this football genius like you know you should.
Hey Goon Squad, we're glad to have you back with us again live this week right here on YouTube and listening on either iTunes or SoundCloud. We have a really fun show for you this week that gives you, the listeners, a chance to chime in. If you're live with us right now, we need you, our listeners, to let us know what about the NFL you love to hate. It could be anything, a player, a team, a scenario, whatever it is, just let us know. You can shout it out to us in the chat during the show, and we will get to some of them live on the air during the podcast. Before we get started, though, we want to wish everybody a happy belated Father's Day. We took last night off to enjoy Father's Day a little bit more. So we're wondering here. I'm going to kick it around the room to the goons. What is your ideal scenario for Father's Day? What's your favorite? What's the perfect Father's Day for you?
I think, first of all, it's kind of amazing that there are seven people in the world who we're their fathers. So God bless the seven of them.
Oh, wow. hard to believe.
At least you guys only have the girls. I actually have to raise a young man, which is terrifying. But well, we went miniature golfing, which in theory is a great time, but my son really just doesn't get it. He hits the ball one time and then he goes and gets it, puts it 2 inches from the hole, generally misses that one. And then tries to put it in. It's very difficult to keep him on the same hole too. But I just think with the risk of sounding corny, just anytime you're kind of spending a good time with your family and laughing it up, and kind of the reminder of why you did it in the first place. Because anybody out there with young kids knows there's plenty of times and plenty of days where you're not real sure why you did this to yourself. So that was a good time. We went out to eat. We went to a nowhere restaurant so that we didn't have to wait in line. So that was really my Father's Day gift. I didn't have to wait to be seated. I just got to eat.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that. That's actually how I play real golf, the way that Cole plays miniature golf.
I know that's true. There has to be a reason you've beaten me in the past.
That's the only possible reason. I started out by going to church in the morning, and then we went right out to lunch where I got a full rack of ribs and they were delicious. But I, like, for the last 6 years that I've had kids, we have this place called the Waterfront. Obviously it's in front of the water. So and there's like a town square there, and that big fountain and lots of flowers and stuff. And they have these random Adirondack chairs. And I go there, get Starbucks, and sit there in the commons. And it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Sit there and relax. That's ideal Father's Day, relaxation.
Do some people watching, like watch and see what kind of weird stuff people do, like, you know, thinking about picking up gum and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I think to me the biggest thing is everybody just kind of being together. You know, we just took it easy for most of the weekend. Obviously we have a 6-week-old, so we're not getting too crazy at this point. But, to me, anytime that I could get basically any kind of meat product and get it on an open flame and cook it and eat that and, you know, have some sides with it and, you know, basically watch my 3-year-old attempt to eat corn on the cob, that's a pretty much a good time. So and back to what Miles said, it you're sitting around and you're looking around and you're thinking, like, I have two kids that I'm responsible for.
Yikes,
how did this happen?
Yeah,
so I mean it happens quick, but you know,
life gets away from us.
Yeah, no, it's fun. Just spending time with the family is always good. So
yeah,
We're going to dive into it here, but I do want to mention that Rocco is running a little bit behind. He's having a little bit of a technical problem. We're joking around. It's because he still has Windows 98 on his laptop, and Deal gave us the real issue. What was that?
He's over there watching the a pipe screensaver. He can't get off of that. Those colorful pipes, he's really mesmerized. So we'll get him here soon, though.
All right, so he's going to be jumping in shortly here. But last season, we recorded a show on this topic, and we had way too much fun to not at least try it again, to be honest with you. With that in mind, we're going to share players, a team, NFL things in general that we love to hate. And there's no real rules with this one. You just get a few minutes to just vent on why you hate what you hate about the NFL. So let's just jump right into it. Deal, I'm going to let you go first. And, you know, as you're going, we may jump in or we may jump in after.
Okay. So last year I hit you with why I love to hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of my main reasons was they wear yellow.
Yellow.
I still hate yellow, but I'm going to elaborate on more than just that. My number one reason for hating them is because of their wearing of yellow. And what I want to talk about tonight, I'm sure, is just as much a hot button topic as wearing yellow. I'm sure it's talked about by the masses. I'm sure it's one of the most argued and disputed subjects in all of the NFL, or maybe even all of the world.
Wow.
The whole world. Now, these goons here, they know, as well as pretty much anybody that's not my wife, that I'm very overly particular, like almost to a Rain Man extent. Like every morning, I put on 23 swipes of deodorant, 12 on the left, 11 on the right, every day of my life. I love my routine. I lay my clothes out every evening before I go to bed. I know the number of steps that go into my house, the number of steps that go out my back door, the number of steps that go to my second floor. And I know out my back door how many steps that go to my perfectly manicured lawn, because I love my straight lines to the extent that if I don't have straight lines after I cut my grass, which I do every time, so this isn't an issue, but I would recut my grass. I do all of our graphic design works for the goons. And when it was pointed out to me that I messed up Make Football Great Again and accidentally added an extra O, and it made past quality checkpoints of all four of us, our sponsor, Frank Walker Law, and the printer who printed our shirts, I was nearly homicidal. So, yeah, I'm pretty particular. So now I'm sure you're hanging on the edge of your seat waiting to hear what I love to hate this year. I don't love it at all. I just hate it. I hate that Nike started using a backwards logo on their NFL apparel. I hate it. Like maybe as much as anything I hate in the world. Like to the point where I like Reebok jerseys better. And Reebok might be the worst sports brand of all time. And I think I like their jerseys better because they don't put a backwards logo on. Now, I've heard people say, well, they've always been backwards on shoes because the check is meant to be cast from front to back like it's waving in the air. It's not. It's not waving in the air. It's on a shoe. It's on a jersey. It's a check. It's meant to be checked from left to right, like how checks go, like how we read, like how soldiers march left, right, like how everything should be because America. like how Nike logo should be. I hate that it's different on each shoulder. It's right on the left shoulder and it's wrong on the right shoulder. Don't give me the crap about the swoosh needing to face forward. The swoosh needs to face like a check, like a Nike check. If it said Nike below the swoosh, if it said Air below the swoosh, and it was on the right shoulder, would they write Air or Nike backwards? No. They would write it the way it's supposed to go. Make it right, Nike. I hate it.
I got to say, I was not expecting you to go there at all.
That makes the most sense, though, right?
But I love it. It's always bothered me. It really always has.
I'm going to sidebar this real quick and just throw something at you. I saw an article the other day that was like every team's NFL helmet, but in the colors of like a different Big Four team from their city. And so I clicked on it because why not? And the Colts helmet was in Pacers colors and it was yellow with the blue Colt. And I was like, man, I got to show that to Deal.
Love it. Thank you for not sending it. Like you're a semi good friend. Like you thought about it, but then you didn't do it. So thanks for that.
That's going to ruin his whole week. Yeah. Listen,
if he would have sent you that and they had that color combination and the backwards check, would you still be doing the show right now?
I would have left the group chat. I probably would have downgraded to Rocco's Windows 98 and backtracked all. I would have been out. Man, why crazy. Is it backwards?
I like the front to back thing. I got to tell you. It's never bothered me on a pair of shoes. It's never bothered me on shoes.
But it shouldn't be that way on shoes either. But on a jersey is more ridiculous because it's so prominent and so like bright and it's on both shoulders. So it should be uniform. It's actually called a uniform. So the things on it should be uniform. It's actually right in the title of it.
I wonder how that slipped the ridiculous, like dress code policy that they have. Like they have people on the sideline checking for like sock height. How does that stuff miss?
Yeah, you can't wear a different sock. You can't wear certain visors. You can't wear a certain face mask. But you can have a backwards check. Ridiculous.
I think the argument here is whether or not in uniform, if it's supposed to be symmetrical, which is why on shoes, it's one side, it's backwards. And on jerseys, it's backwards because it's going the same direction and it's symmetrical. So if you were to cut the shirt in half, regardless of the number, obviously, and then pull it open, it would look exactly the same. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
so should we put the number backwards too then? So that you can read it in a rear view mirror, like an ambulance.
Here we go. One. Here we go.
Stupid.
It's stupid. It's the way it is on everything though.
Shouldn't
like
be.
I can't believe that you get so upset about that on the jerseys. Like you've been wearing Nike sneakers for how long?
I know, but I hate it on there too. I hate it in general.
I think the lesson as always, just buy Under Armour. It's better.
Might need to start that.
All right. Well, hey, while we're talking about uniforms, Austin Morales is checking in on YouTube as we're doing this here. And he says that he hates the new Rams uniform. So we've got to talk about it real quick because I know amongst this group in general, I think it's the new one.
Right.
With the blue and the white.
So the major mistake they're making from what I understand, what I read about it, is that they can't do a total rebrand yet because I guess it hasn't been long enough since they changed. So like the helmet, decal, and face mask are now white, but I don't think they're taking any of that gold out of the jersey or pants, which is going to be atrocious.
Yeah, it's going to be non-uniform.
It's going to be weird. Like now, from what I've seen of the helmets, I love them. I love the helmets.
But only if the uniforms match.
But yeah, not if there's yellow in the uniform. That's ridiculous. Wow.
It's always ridiculous. There should never be yellow.
Especially now that Jeff Fisher's gone, I'd like for them to be relevant. But if your uniforms are atrocious, I just can't do it.
I'm excited about it. When the full transition is made, I think when they go back to that like throwback blue and white, real simple look, I think it's going to look really sharp.
Yep, could be.
All right, so hey, we're going to be listening and giving some of your comments as we go here. So keep sending them in to us, and we'll squeeze them in as we're going. With that in mind, let's throw this thing over to Miles to tell us what he loves to hate.
All right. So I'll admit I hit my big one last year. Kind of we all did. Not to sound like some old head who thinks things are never going to change and Jim Brown was the best because he was and there'll never be another one, yada, yada. I really don't think that I'll hate anyone the way I hate Eli. So I struggled with this one. I didn't want to get into some other – you know, big, I hate this, and kind of fake this fraud, deep-seated hatred for something that's just not there. It's all in Eli's corner. So I thought instead I'd kind of 10 things I hate about you this with you guys and just rattle through some B-list hates that sort of go between annoy and deep dislike. Just so I wasn't faking it. I like to be real with you guys. Real, recognize real.
I like that.
Keep it 100.
Hey, you just said right. Real, recognize real.
I'm keeping it 100. So, you know, and I'm going to be stepping on a few toes here, even among the group, and I can handle that because I'm not going to say anything you guys don't know. So without further ado, here's the list. I hate Odell Beckham Jr. He's the diva to end all divas. And the worst part of it is I love the player he is on the field. I think he's awesome. I generally don't mind TD celebrations. I love arrogant players. I think Richard Sherman is one of my favorite players in the league. But he takes it to this ridiculous side with the kicking net. That was my final straw. I just can't handle the guy. It really gets under my skin. It obviously doesn't help that he's a giant. But I don't think that bothers me as much as just leave the kicking tee alone or the kicking net alone. I hate the Dak Prescott love. This dude won Rookie of the Year over the most celebrated 3,600-yard passing season in NFL history. He finished 19th in passing yards behind Carson Wentz, Sam Bradford, and Blake Bortles, and we gave this guy an award. He had a great rating, but it's due to teams being so shocked beyond belief that the Cowboys actually threw the ball on that play that they forgot how to cover people. Because they just eight of you cover Zeke, and then we'll take our risk. So I literally, it's just more than that than Dak actually having real skill. I can't wait for him to fall on his face. I'm pumped about it. If he played on any of the other 31 teams, even with those same stats, no one would care. No one. It's just about the stupid star on the side of his helmet. I hate people who root for random teams. Deal. I'm a firm believer in root for the home team. I think you need to root for your home team.
Nah.
I only dislike it if it's random out of town team because you followed a player there or even a uniform if you're like my wife or somebody's girlfriend likes the pretty colors. I don't know. But I hate it. If you jumped on a bandwagon back in the day because you were a kid and they won championships and you stuck. Even if you stuck with it through lean years after that, you're a fraud and I hate you.
To be fair, the Colts sucked in the 90s, so.
Yeah, it's fine. It's still, you should be a Steelers fan. Deal with it. I don't even know where I am. All right. I hate tractors that drive on the road and go literally 40 miles an hour under the speed limit. That's a side note. Obviously, it has nothing to do with football, but living out here in the middle of nowhere, I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me in like the last 2 weeks, and it's really getting under my skin. I hate AFC football. No one cares about Steelers versus Ravens. Everyone knows Brady or Roethlisberger is going to win the conference this year again. Heck, Peyton Manning has a better shot at winning the AFC than 14 of the actual starting quarterbacks in the AFC this year. I hate Chip Kelly for trading Shady McCoy from my team for a weak sauce linebacker who made a grand total of one play for my team before just another of a rash of injuries. I hate Kiko Alonso for being that weak sauce linebacker. I hate Chipotle for being way more expensive, but way less delicious than Taco Bell. I'm sorry. It has to be said. I hate people who say football is going to die because of concussions. That rips part of my soul away every time. And it makes me sad. I hate Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb for being the ultimate football teases. I hate Pittsburgh and Boston for winning too much. Knock it off. We're sick of it. I hate rooting for the only NFC East team without a ring. It drives me nuts. And not just one ring. They're the only NFC East team without at least three. The Eagles could win the Super Bowl back-to-back the next two seasons, and every fan from another team in my division can still just give me backhanded compliments. Like, oh, Pat, good job. Proud of you. Yeah. Last but not least, and this is probably the most genuine one, I hate fantasy football owners who don't pay attention. If you can't commit, don't do it. This matters way too much to a lot of us. And if you just sign on, because wouldn't it be funny if I drafted a team and then you don't check anything, you suck. I don't like you. Knock it off. Get out of my league. Realize who you are and get a different hobby. I think that's the end of my rant. There's a lot there.
I hated some of those. I'm not going to lie. Like, I could add that I hate the things that you hate or the things that you choose to be.
Well, that's all right. We knew that coming in.
I am a little confused here, and I'm going to pick on you for just one thing you said. Years, all you've wanted to see was Tom Brady win more rings, the GOAT, and now you're like, I hate Pittsburgh and Boston because they win too much.
Well, yeah, but
like
it's one of I want Tom Brady to win because it strengthens my argument of him being the GOAT. So like I know he's getting there anyways because AFC football boring. And then if he's there, I might as well have him win to strengthen my argument. But it's more of a Red Sox, sorry again, deal. The Bruins win. The Celtics have won. Knock it off. Tired of it. Give me one.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to agree with you on one thing. The fantasy football thing, like this is how crazy I am. That probably upsets me more than anything else that you said. Because everything else is just like, well, it's really kind of like out of our control. The fantasy football thing, like how many times have you been in a league where there's just that team that's just a doormat and it somehow costs you a legit shot because, you know, somebody else got them in the playoffs and, you know, they started Barry Sanders and he retired 12 years ago. You know? So it drives me nuts. Like play a best ball league or something.
But yeah, fine.
Yeah, that drives me nuts more than anything. All right, let's get somebody else who chimed in. Let's go to Facebook here. Brendan Vines says, celebrations after every play. It's their job. They don't have to celebrate every time that they do their job. Now, I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this, but I'm pretty sympathetic about this, especially being somebody who had to watch Dahani Jones play that stupid bass guitar thing. Every time he made like 30 tackles a season, and every time he made a tackle, he had to make sure he did that. Like, what about the 70 times that you whiffed on a tackle? I don't see you doing anything then.
I love celebrations. And here, like, I get the do your job and I've been there before, yada, yada. Like, let's say you're a salesman and you travel around and you make sales. What happens when you make a big sale? You celebrate. Like, it's not a dance because it's not what you do.
Throw something around.
You've reached the culmination of your job. So as an athlete, that's scoring a touchdown. So you bunch of 40-year-old knuckleheads, like, they want to celebrate, and they're 24. Let them have a good time about it.
Man, I hate it.
Here's my argument for that. And I'm kind of I'm absolutely in agreement with you, Miles. I hate the argument. Like, your job is to entertain us.
Right.
We're watching you play a sport. Like, you could say, do your job. Your job is to tackle someone. And if you do it good, I'm all for you getting up and celebrating with your teammates or by yourself like Dahani Jones or throwing down the axe like Jeremiah Trotter. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, I am going to say this. If you're okay with that, then you have to be okay with all of the celebrations that go along with it, whether you think they're ridiculous or not. So
I'm not okay with it. Like, maybe I would – I mean, it's just not really in my personality, the celebration thing, so that could just be a part of it. But I think there should be, like, a criteria. They already add all these ridiculous rules, so you should have to be a certain level of player, a certain caliber of player. Like, you're not an elite player. You don't get to celebrate. You're a B-level player. So just go ahead back to the huddle.
That's even better. Like, when you're a B-level player and you know, coming down the field on a kickoff return and you light somebody's world up,
more get reason, pumped like, about it.
Get pumped about
because,
it. Because
I nah, see, because you sucked so many other times that you don't get to celebrate this one time.
To me, and I'm not saying that, like, every B-level player is no good, but, like, that's your time to shine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I would so much rather have that than the guy that just turns around and walks back to the sideline and is like, ho-hum. Like, do you care about football?
Well, it doesn't bother me when they don't celebrate, but when they do, like, it's your job. And shocker to, like, 95% of America – some people like their job and they get excited when they do well at it. Like, most people hate their job. So to you, do your job means be miserable. Like, I like my job. If I have a kid who comes to me and doesn't know anything, and then by the end of the year, they can like solve equations, I'm excited about that. I don't dance because I have a very high dance threshold, but I find a celebration. You find a way to be excited if you enjoy what you're doing. So like when you're talking about not just a job, but these guys' life's goal, and then they're reaching the pinnacle of it, get excited, be pumped.
Listen, what was the dance that Antonio Brown did that he got fined for?
The twerk.
The twerk. Next time that I secure like a short lead time delivery.
Take a video.
Oh God, please let somebody video that.
I'm going to stand up in the office and I am going to twerk, but I'm only allowed to do three pumps, right?
On your desk.
Because once he got over three pumps, that's where the fine came in, right?
On somebody else's desk.
Hands on the floor, feet on the desk. Twerk.
All right. The next time that I make a delivery, it's happening. All right. On that note, Rocco, why don't you tell us what you love to hate?
I love to hate fantasy football. Just in general. I have many, many reasons why, but I'll share them with you guys. But fantasy football is starting to be the thorn in my side. Mainly because I play fantasy football with these three goons. My life is more miserable because of it.
It's just it's just starting to be your thorn in your side.
Yeah, because you know why? Because, okay, so here's the deal. I understand why I was bad at fantasy football for the longest time. And that's actually one of the things that I hate about fantasy football. I am a diehard Jets fan. I chose to wear this shirt tonight for a reason, to show that I bleed green, okay? Unfortunately, for this upcoming season, I'm going to bleed a lot of other colors because watching the Jets this year is going to be the most painful thing I've ever done in my life. But in seriousness, I bleed green. It's very hard for me to get attached to it was very hard for me to get attached to certain players from other teams in my fantasy lineup because I didn't want to root for them. And I think that's the hardest thing for a diehard. Listen, there are a lot of good fantasy football players out there. Some of them are diehards, but some of them are just a casual fantasy football player who just go over the stats. They don't really have a team necessarily. Some of them do, some of them don't. But I think it's so hard when you are so passionate about a team. You know, South, you say this all the time. You're not going to own Dez Bryant. You're not going to own Ezekiel Elliott. If you had the number three pick and Johnson and Bell go first, you're going to find another option other than Ezekiel Elliott. You don't want to own a Cowboy. That was my problem for a long time. I refuse to own Patriots. I refuse to own Dolphins. I refuse to own Bills. I even refuse to own Bears in most cases because I can't stand the Chicago Bears. Don't ask me why. I just have never liked them. So with all that being said, it's hard to overcome your fanhood, your fandom, to actually root for the players that you hate. And when I say root, I mean not only just – and I thought of this great example. You're not just drafting Tom Brady if I'm a Jets fan and then rooting for him to do well every week. I find myself in the fourth quarter of games, I need points from a stud wide receiver like Odell or Antonio Brown, and he's on the sideline. So I find myself rooting for Tom Brady to go down and score again so that my guy gets another chance. I hate rooting for the guys that I hate. And it drives me insane. Like I hate going into the season and thinking, I want to draft Tom Brady because I want to win that fantasy. But I don't want to root for Tom Brady to do well at all. Like it's my never ending conundrum that my life will be in as long as fantasy is a thing in my life, which hopefully is till the day I die. I hate having to root for the guys I hate. The other reason I hate fantasy is because I don't understand how you could be a football fan, but a casual football fan. And that's because I'm a diehard. Miles, South, you guys are diehards. Deal, you're a diehard. It's ride or die with your team forever. I don't know how people can just jump on the fantasy football bandwagon and just be like, well, I don't really like a team. I like players. I hate that statement more than the passion of a thousand burning suns. Pick a freaking team and just see what your life is like, how much better your life is by diving in 100% and owning and having it be a part of who you are. I can't stand this ridiculous, well, I have favorite players around the league. I don't really root for a team. I root for my fantasy team. Stop it now.
Was that John Clayton just now?
If it was,
I think it was Mark Wahlberg.
If it was the worst John Clayton ever.
Mark Wahlberg.
I
Wait, Racco, for all of our fans out there, can you do an impression of Mark Wahlberg? Come on, do it. This is your shining moment. Oh, this man. Is it.
This is my shining moment to show the world my not sounding like Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Or what's your mother?
We have gone off the rails so bad.
I was in Transformers. No, but seriously, I can't stand the casual fan, and not just an NFL, and anything. You know, the guy who's, I pay attention to place bets, or I pay attention to play fantasy or daily fantasy. Why are you watching, like the sport as much as you think you do? So just pick a team and get on board. My two biggest issues with fantasy football, and I say that knowing full well that I am going to go 100% in like four or five leagues this year, and I'm going to dive in like I do every year, and I'm going to hope that, you know, this is the year that I could maybe sniff the playoffs in our league. Or
well, and here's the other thing, you know, too, like you're going to do four leagues and then you're going to have all of those negative rooting interest issues. But on top of that, you're going to be rooting for a guy in one league against them in another, right, and not sure which one you want more than the other.
Well, I think this goes without saying, and I think you guys will agree with this. Even when you are in multiple leagues, you kind of have tendencies to draft certain players. Like, obviously, yes, draft will depend on where you fall, because you're going to take, you know, more than likely best player available, best running back available, whatever. But once you get past like round five, you have tendencies to take certain guys. So I know you guys will agree with this. When you have three, four, five, six fantasy teams, usually there are some multiple players on multiple teams, because you've seen where they're being drafted, and those are your guys that you kind of like to lean on, you know, guys that you think are rated a little bit lower that are going to have a big year, you know, so you make sure that you own those guys. You know, I know like last year for almost our entire group here, we were all trying to get Melvin Gordon in every league we were in, except for the league that we were all in together, you know, so it's like, you know, you tend to lean on those guys. So I don't think that plays into it as much, but I hate that, you know, like right now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys and our listeners. Right now, we already know our draft order. I'm sitting with pick 8 out of 8. So I know I have 8, 9. The top two guys are going to be available to me are a Chicago Bear, Jordan Howard, and a Miami Dolphin, Jay Ajayi. So do I just take the two guys that I just generally don't like because it's the best option for my team? If you want to win and be successful, then yes.
So
which I hate.
So you're not going to take them.
So with that being said, I'm going to take the best two wide receivers available, and I'm going to call it a day.
Hey,
and that's why I hate. And that's why I hate fantasy football.
Were you just on Mark Wahlberg again? I wasn't sure if that was him again.
Oh, please don't. I already cried enough for one night. All right. Listen, let's go over to the Twitter and see what's going on. King Reed 713 tells us that the thing that he loves to hate are the Thursday night football games. I mean, I know we've talked about this to at least an extent. What are our feelings on the games? He's saying that they're horrible. I know that the league is trying to give you a division matchup, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. And more than anything, I think it's that weird short week turnaround.
I actually hate that even more, that they're doing the rivalry game, because then it's a game that's usually good and now it kind of sucks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, I love having Thursday Night Football, because if it was up to me, we'd have football every day of the week. Like I understand that you can't. I understand that you can't do it, but I love having you have Thursday Night Football. Usually, you get some kind of weird or Pac-12 game on Friday night. You have college football Saturdays, NFL Sundays, NFL Mondays. Like we're down to just Tuesdays and Wednesdays without football. And man, that's my favorite thing. That's
Tuesdays and Wednesdays suck.
So they're terrible. But they do need to do a better job of scheduling. I like the idea of making a conference game, because it was like every week in some way. Then they tried to spice up with the uniform changes, which I personally loved, except for the Jaguars, because that is the worst thing on the planet. It's gotten stale now, and they need to come up with a different way to change it up. I still think it should be a better game. I don't think every team should be entitled to play a Thursday night. I understand why they do it, so that it's fair for everybody, so that you don't have a team with like three Thursday night games in short weeks. But I like Thursday night football. I do. So we got to come up with a better solution to it, because I don't want to lose Thursday night football.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a matter of getting more creative with the scheduling to try and make it a little more appealing, at least the game content. So
can I just – NFL Network is currently, like, as we're speaking, there's a top 100 episode. Dak Prescott got 14th. 14th best player in the NFL. You know who's 15th? Aaron Donald. 32 out of 32 GMs would take Aaron Donald. I don't know about that Eli comment anymore. Listen, Drew Brees, 16th. Dak Prescott, better than Drew Brees. Coming to a team near you.
Listen.
Hey guys, I'm really looking forward to Love to Hate version 3.0.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna have to think about it. I know who. Well, I won't hate him anymore after the Cowboys go 7-9.
Ooh.
Well, this is a perfect segue. This is a perfect segue, because last year, you guys remember that I railed on the Cowboys and my hatred for them.
One of the greatest things in history.
I don't know that I could really even approach how great that was again, but I'm gonna give it a shot this year.
I'm going to give you an effort.
I have something that I love to hate. And I think everybody here, at least in the conversation, knows it. Maybe not everybody listening, but you're about to find out. For years, ESPN has been at the cutting edge of a lot of the technological and advances in pretty much game sports. They've been the biggest name in sports. ESPN is my love to hate. And here's why. Other networks have now caught up or surpassed them at this point. You know, notably, I'll go to NBC's football coverage specifically. And I'm really just talking about ESPN's football coverage. I don't really pay much attention to anything else going on the network, but it just feels like the only real advantage they had was how great their coverage was overall. But now that's really gotten away from them. So they've gotten a little desperate at this time. I think we can all agree that. Yeah. All networks do it, but no network overdoes the favorites card like ESPN does. They obsess over the biggest stars and the biggest stories, and they absolutely run them into the ground within minutes of turning it on. They spent 5 straight weeks reporting on the blade height of Brett Favre's tractor while standing at his front gate wondering whether or not he was coming out of retirement.
I actually like that.
They wrote 10,000 baseless stories about the Flategate and never took any credit or admitted when they were wrong about any of them either. And now they're dead set on shoving these controversial personalities like Stephen A. Smith and others down our throats because, hey, that's what America wants to see. They want hot takes and they want loud and they want in your face. Forget about, you know, actual journalism or actual reporting. That's what America wants now. Who could forget the 25 reporters they had positioned at training camp to report on every muscle twitch that Tim Tebow had? I know I won't. Another major pain point for me is that they never give credit to the actual people who break stories. Instead, they just cite sources and claim that they have all the coverage that you could ever need on their network. You wouldn't even have the story if it wasn't for someone else. And to top that off, now, I mentioned it before, they never issue a retraction when they get something wrong. Now, I'm one for making ridiculous statements, ridiculous guarantees, ridiculous predictions. I do it all the time. I get laughed at all the time for it. I'm still eating the Golden Tate crow as we speak. But I'll own it. I'll own it. I'll horse around about it a little bit and say, you know, Mike Evans is my boy. Everybody knows that or whatever. But I'll own it in the end of the day. They just will not own it. Their NFL coverage is so geared toward advertising dollars at this point, it makes me want to puke. We don't get to the actual game until we see the GMC pre-kickoff show, followed by the Honda kickoff show, then get a Gruden grinder presented by Mazda and a Dell keys to the game. Then we get to the kickoff. This is before we even get into actual live on-the-field coverage. We've had four sponsors in 45 seconds shoved down our throats. I understand that advertising dollars are key, but a little subtlety goes a long way with people, especially me. And that right there is a Coors Light hard fact for you. Does anyone on the planet, other than his mother, care what Trent Dilfer thinks about football? Okay, put your hand down. You're just trying to be difficult now. Losing Mike Tirico is ultimately going to be a gigantic loss for them. He was probably my favorite thing about Monday Night Football. He and Gruden were actually pretty enjoyable together because he kind of knew how and when to rein Gruden in a little bit. And when he got too far off course, he can kind of bring him back a little bit. Sean McDonough, I like him. He's a good play-by-play guy. But when you watch those two together, it looks like they genuinely hate each other. It looks like when the cameras go off, they just walk separate ways and don't talk to each other for another week. I really miss Mike Tirico on Monday night. Their obsessions with showing the images related to the city that they're in are so incredibly stupid. We're guaranteed that if they're in Philly, you're going to get a picture of a dude turning over cheesesteak meat onto a roll. If you're in San Francisco, you're going to get somebody hanging off of a cable car. You know, if you're in Pittsburgh, you're going to get somebody hammering metal. You know, if you're in Buffalo, you're going to get somebody with frozen boogers on their face. Like, it's just, they're obsessed with these like visual images of like, you know, this is the persona of the city. And like, it's just so overdone that it drives me nuts. Instead of focusing on the actual game that's being played, they spent an entire drive talking about teams that they were going to cover next week during a current game. Before kickoff on Monday Night Football, we get 16 promos for next week's game already. It drives me nuts. Like, I waited all week for Monday night. Kind of steal that from the Sunday night. But I waited all week for my team to play on Monday Night Football. I don't want to hear about the Jags and Titans next week, like before kickoff, or see promos or hear your analysts talk about it. I'm just not interested. During a playoff game, albeit a boring one, they fixated six different camera angles on J.J. Watt on the sideline. He wasn't suited up for the game. He was in street clothes and a ball cap, and they had six cameras designated to him. So we're treated to every reaction that he made to every single play in the game. So we get these genius comments from Gruden like, oh, I wonder what J.J. Watt thought about the transition on that handoff, if it was a little too high or a little low and, you know, in the breadbasket there. I don't give a crap about J.J. Watt. There's a playoff game happening on the field. Yeah, I said it.
You bite your tongue.
Regardless of where you stand on the issue, it was insane that they paid four extra cameramen just to follow Colin Kaepernick on the sideline during his protests.
Yep.
It doesn't matter to me how you feel about it, what side you're on. The fact is that the national anthem was being played, and rather than, you know, focus on the person who's performing or any other thing like that, there are four people following somebody who's just looking at the ground and kneeling. Why? You paid somebody and put them out there to do that and put them on TV. The overall focus for me, honestly, has just shifted from actually covering the game to trying to get the most clicks and views. And it drives me nuts to no extent. They'd rather be, you know, the National Enquirer or the New York Times in the checkout aisle where, you know, grandma's coming through and, what? That alien has four heads? Just show me the game, report on the game, talk about the things that are happening. They laid off all these, you know, actual good people at their job, and now you're getting all these different talking heads who just can be loud, you know. The celebrity angle, you know, do away with that. I don't care at all what Pitbull thinks about the Dolphins prospects this year. Just don't. I love to hate ESPN's NFL coverage, and that's all I could say about it.
Wait, can you tell us what they would be showing if there was a game in Dallas?
If they were in Dallas, there's no question in my mind that they would be showing some dude in chaps with just a leather vest and no shirt underneath and an awkward patch of chest hair, like right here in his chest, with like a 15-gallon cowboy hat and like six teeth, just like whistling uncontrollably, like right into the microphone of a camera.
You forgot that the awkward patch of hair on his chest is actually the shape of Texas.
Yes. Yes. And it's like the old like Virgin Mary in my toast. It actually has an image of Jerry Jones like scaped in there. So now doesn't it feel like they always go for like the most like obnoxious label that they could find?
Yeah. I think my least favorite thing to go along with that sound is I can't stand that every single time they play a game in Green Bay in December, they have to show you the frozen thermometer outside the stadium. Right. Like, we get it. It's cold. Yes.
You're in Wisconsin in December outside.
In December.
Yeah. I agree. I do hate some of what they do, and I hate that they become like the TMZ of sports reporting. They just want to put out what's ridiculous and put out, like you said, what's loud, and they just come up with these takes that they can't be warranted. They can't be founded in anything. They just make them up to put out something.
That's just, it just feels like clickbait to me, and I'd rather just show me the game. Like, you have all the technology in place to just give me the best presentation possible. And instead, we have to get into all this other stuff, and it just drives me nuts. So right. The basis for it. All right, hey, one more user-submitted one here. We've got Dave Dixon on Facebook. He's telling us that the overtime rules are horrible. Just real quickly on the overtime rules, do we agree on this?
I can get on board with that. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
You know what? I think I could have went on a whole love to hate about the differences in rules between college and pros and how stupid it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same game. Why are we not playing by the same rules? And that's one of the rules that I've said for a long time. I think the NFL should be similar to college. I get that maybe 25 is too close. Start at 35. You know, it's 35 is not a gimme. If you don't gain any yards, it's still a 47-yard field goal, 50-yard field goal. You know, I just hate that. You know, the to go along with that, the one foot down for college, 2 feet for the pro rule. I just hate the differences in the rules between the two, and that overtime rule is the one that grinds my gears the most.
Yeah, it's like they made it more in depth. Why not just make it easier? why are you making it so much more difficult and adding more rules? It's the NFL just adds rules for no reason.
It certainly seems that way. Well, hey, that's a wrap for this week's edition of the Football Goons podcast. Thanks for all of your help in our takeover of the NFL media landscape. Now that ESPN is dropping the ball, somebody's got to step in there. And I think that we are the crew to do it. You can touch base with us at facebook.com/footballgoons, footballgoons.com, or right here on our YouTube page. If you subscribe to us, you'll get all the notifications whenever we have new content there. You could also follow us on the Twitter. We are @footballgoons. If you like the show, let us know. We love to hear from the Goon Squad. You can reach out to us any of those different ways. You could leave us a review on iTunes. We want to hear what you think about the show, what we could do better, you know, what you want me to stop doing, upgrading Rocco's computer to pass Windows 98. Let us know. We want to hear from you. You never know when we're going to give away some free swag either, some free gear, just for showing us some love. All right, so keep that in mind. We will catch you all next time.
For your intro to the football goons, D.O. Miles South and Rocco, man, they'll make you swoon. They talk that genuine, you know this podcast gonna be good, so stick around and get this football genius like you know you should.